This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan Levinson.
So now we're turning onto Decatur here.
Yep.
Are we going to check out the St. Louis place?
Well, we will try.
I'm driving around the French Quarter with Don Davis, a Sea Grant scholar, cultural geographer, and professor at LSU. But this is how he prefers to introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Don. I'm going to talk to you now. That's it. Just Don.
We're looking for what used to be called the Kuang Sun Company, a Chinese export business that operated on St. Louis Street for over 50 years.
Is it St. Peter's or St. Louis?
This is St. Louis.
But
Don's an environmental scientist, but he's passionate about a lot of other things, like immigration, specifically Chinese immigrants and how they got to New Orleans. The Chinese helped build the American West. They came to California in the mid-19th century to cash in on the work that came with the gold rush and laying down the transcontinental railroads. But in the late 19th century, most of the people that moved from the Canton region to San Francisco went into the fishing industry.
And became so successful that a number of species went extinct in San Francisco Bay. When that resource was overexploited, the fishermen knew that there were other areas. So they came to Louisiana and discovered the wetlands.
Other Chinese headed south after the Civil War for reasons having nothing to do with fishing. Slaves were emancipated, which meant there were job openings on plantations. So a lot of Chinese served as cheap labor for sugar planters, cotton planters, etc. Americans didn't seem to have a problem with any of this until they started feeling territorial over their jobs.
And you have to remember, because of the Exclusion Act of 1882 and 1943, for 61 years, you could not immigrate into this country if you were Chinese.
This was the first law that denied entry to a specific ethnic group from immigrating to the U.S. It was targeted towards laborers, and you can imagine how hard it was to convince the U.S. government that you were not heading to America for work. So it was illegal to come here, but that doesn't mean people weren't doing it, which is why a lot of these Chinese went to live and work in the wetlands, literally.
They discovered that they could go out into the wetlands and build a platform and basically be isolated. Out of sight, out of mind.
By the 1870s, there was an entire world of shrimp drying platforms. These Chinese fishermen built dozens of huge wooden decks, 2 to 3 football fields in size, that were raised up on stilts just like 4 feet above the marsh. The best known was called Manila Village, and it was out in Jefferson Parish. But there were over 100 of these platforms that were built out in Barataria Bay over the course of almost a century. A lot of the workers out there on the platforms drying the shrimp didn't end up there by choice. They were shanghaied. I was shanghaied on an ocean freighter. I was shanghaied eating beans and taters. I was shanghaied
on an ocean freighter, and I want to get back to shore. Well, in the French Quarter, and we've interviewed the son of a gentleman that did this, their job was to go through the French Quarter and find somebody that's just drunk as a skunk, and they would offer them wine. And the next thing you know, they're in a boat. They end up on one of these platforms and there's no way off. They don't have an iPhone. They're just gone.
There weren't enough people that were like, well, I need a job.
Who wants to go in a mosquito-infested, isolated community of which you have nothing else to do but work?
Woof. Good point. And this work was tough. The platforms were tilted with high and low points. The shrimp was caught in these handheld nets, immediately boiled, and then dumped out on the platforms to sun dry for a couple days. But as you know, rain comes any day, any time around here, making it a rat race to constantly cover and uncover the shrimp. Once they were finally dry, workers put burlap sacks on their feet and, quote, danced on the shrimp to shake off the shells. At that point, the dried product was sent to the Kuang Sun Company, you know, the place in the quarter that Don and I were looking for. And we eventually found it, by the way.
I think it's right here. I think that's the business right there. I think it's...
We also found 81-year-old Bob Hoy, whose dad, Chin D. Hoy Sr., started Kuang Sun in the 1920s.
Well, my father was very young when he came here. I guess he was like 12 or 13 initially.
Interesting to note here that Chin D. Hoy came to the U.S. from Canton at the turn of the 20th century with the Exclusion Act still in full effect. So Bob's dad is a perfect example of someone who got around this restriction somehow or other. which may be one reason Bob doesn't know so much about his family history. His dad never talked about it. Or anything, really.
Were you close to your dad?
Close? By real, real close, no, I would say no. He very rarely said anything except, go study, or something to that effect. So I would say no, we weren't real, real close.
What Bob does know is that his dad formed Kwong Sun, managed the shrimp drying platforms from afar, packaged the shrimp in 200-pound barrels, and shipped it off to China. Today, a lot of the shrimp we Americans eat is from China, but back then, the Chinese came here to catch and dry shrimp to send back to their homeland. This makes dried shrimp the first international market for a Louisiana product, thanks to the Chinese. But what were they used for? I asked Bob.
We used to just eat them dried, just like peanuts. Of course, these days, it's pretty expensive to eat for, like, peanuts.
You're not exactly going to the Zephyr's popping 20 to 30 dried shrimp.
No, not at all.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson. The Kwong Sun Company also sold wholesale to Chinatowns in New York, California, even Hawaii. But Bob's dad wanted to reach non-Chinese buyers. So during the Second World War, Kwong Sun became Gulf Food Products. Doesn't get more generic than that.
Of course. That's the purpose. Do you ever remember an advertisement for, what was it, Steak and Lobster Place?
Red Lobster?
Red Lobster. They used to sell a product called Steak and Langostino. And I'm watching that going, steak, what the hell is a langostino? I don't know what that is. You know what it is? Crawfish. Wow. Latin name. Sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, sounds romantic.
Exactly. You got it. It's marketing. It is classic marketing. I love it.
Yeah, let's go get some langostino.
Exactly.
While Bob's dad ran Gulf Food Products, Bob went to Warren Easton High School. It was an all-boys segregated school at the time. Then he went on to Tulane, got his BA, master's, and PhD in physics, did a short stint in the ROTC, returned to New Orleans and worked for Chrysler at a space station, and then got a teaching gig at the University of New Orleans. But then his dad died.
Had you guys ever had any type of conversation where he had said, you know, I want you to keep it going?
No, not really. He never mentioned it. It's just that when my father passed, there was a need.
This was in the mid-1970s. The shrimp drying platforms were long gone by this point because in the 50s they started using machines indoors instead of the sun to dry the shrimp. Bob Hoy ran his father's company until the early 2000s when he sold it and retired. It still operates today out in Jefferson Parish as Gulf Food Products. There are a few traces of Chinese culture around New Orleans, a few tombs, some old laundry buildings, the still operating Q Lee on Basin Street. But there's no trace of Kwong Sun at the original dried shrimp building in the French Quarter. And out in Barataria Bay, maybe you'll see a few lingering pilings. But that's it in terms of the platforms. There's really only Bob.
Do you eat a lot of dried shrimp?
No. I haven't since I've left the company.
Wow.
I can't afford it.
Goodbye, Mama Shrimp. Papa shake my hand.
Tripod is a production of WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio, in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and I'll tripod you later.
He showed his mama and papa shrimp newspaper he read, an invitation to our shrimp, and this is what it said. Free ride, New Orleans, stay in Grand Hotel. Meet Creole gal who helped you come out of your shell. Meet Creole gal who helped you.